So, we've made it to the legendary episode 69.
Nice.
I kind of dread this, but I'm also excited about it. Because I have no idea what you have in store.
Honestly, I'm not going to do that much for it because I feel like the 69 stands on its own, though probably if you're doing a 69, you shouldn't be standing.
Well, hopefully all the little ones listening to this podcast can talk to their parents and figure out what all that means.
Yes. I apologize for anyone who doesn't understand what 69 means.
This is episode 69 of Foul Territory. I'm John Sumple. He's Jed Rigney.
I am Jed Rigney.
And this is the episode 69 is... Okay, so now my screen goes blank.
This is the technical difficulty episode. Look, 69s are a lot harder than people think. It's not like you just like, oh, let's just do a 69. It takes work.
Okay, I'm back. So this is the Bronson Arroyo episode. And it's the Bronson Arroyo episode when he was with the Pirates. And he had that number for 3 years. But here's a strange but true fact. Only 10 players have ever worn the number 69 in the history of baseball on the field. But here's the killer. Five of them have been with the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Wow.
So the Pirates obviously enjoy a good joke.
Sexually enlightened Pirates.
So Arr, Jordy matey. Mercer has had it. Danny Ortiz.
I'll bet. So you're telling me Jody Mercer's had 69?
Yes.
Who else had 69?
Bronson Arroyo.
Bronson Arroyo had 69.
Wilfredo Boscan.
I'm not surprised at all to hear about Fredo.
But most of these players, they have it when the year that they come up. So it's
right.
Like something like that.
I'll
but
bet
Arroyo
they do.
Had it for 3 years.
I bet that's not all that's coming up.
For three straight years with the Pirates. Oh,
really?
2000, 2001, and 2002.
Very sexually aware and tolerant organization in Pittsburgh there.
But Bronson Arroyo, too, you would kind of think that, you know?
Right.
You know, kind of like that. He's kind of like a surfer dude.
Yeah.
Has that kind of carries
the
guitar.
He's a stoner nutty bud, right? Like that's the way Pauly Shore would have described him. A stoner nutty
like,
bud.
Dude, don't you get it? 69. Cool.
Yeah, I get it, Bronson. It's been 3 years, dude. No, I get
okay,
it's
give 69. It a rest.
It's like the sex.
Do you get it?
Bronson, have you had sex?
Put the guitar down.
Yeah, put the guitar down.
So, I'm sure there'll be a couple of references. You didn't have the starting 69. You'd mentioned last week that might be a thing.
I couldn't bring myself to do it. I was just like, yeah, I don't want to do that.
Okay, that's good.
Different
it would
sex
have been
positions.
The longest segment of the show.
Well, longer for some or more, longer for others than for others, and about English words. All right.
Well, you know, people say, the experts say more foreplay, the better.
Do they say that?
Some do. Men don't.
Is that technically? I guess that's technically foreplay, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
It's a warm-up. It's kind of like a bullpen session.
It might not be just a warm-up. Do you know what I'm saying? Like sometimes when you're doing
it could
that
be.
Can be,
sometimes
that
it's
could
all.
Be the final act, if you will. The climax.
Exactly.
A little on the nose with that one, right? The climax.
Right. So that was literal.
Yeah. Sorry about that, guys.
Okay. Let's get into this week's headlines.
Yeah.
So probably the biggest story of the week is Roberto Osuna's suspension.
Yeah.
75 games.
Not 69.
No.
Games.
And that was for domestic abuse.
Yeah, you know, kind of a weird thing because I think it's the first time we've had one of these in the middle of the season. So they immediately suspended him. And then it's really unclear because the Canadian legal system is more like the UK legal system and they kind of keep everything hush-hush. And off the public record.
Parliamentary
until,
procedure.
Yeah. Whereas in the United States, it's like as soon as it hits the public record, it's a public record.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's hard to tell whether he did something really bad. Like I've heard Jeff Passan, the writer, or Passan. Is it Passan or Passan?
Passan.
He's passing me off.
Yeah.
That passing me off sounds like a sex thing, doesn't it?
It does.
Anyway, I meant to be like pissing me off. But anyway. Yeah, so he's saying, like, oh, it's very serious. But then I saw a Canadian lawyer, do a write-up, and she had sort of deduced from the sort of interim punishments and restrictions put on him that it sounds like he got drunk, he was physically violent, but not too violent.
Oh.
Because they were charging him with, like, the lowest level of assault and had restricted him from consuming alcohol.
Okay.
So, not that any of that's okay, but, like, it's just really unclear because it's Canadian, right? If it was in the United States, we'd have more details.
Mm-hmm.
And then so the league did their research on it or whatever, and this is the biggest suspension for domestic violence issues in baseball.
Wow, 75 games.
Yeah, 25 more than the previous 50.
Was that Jose Reyes?
Yeah, it was Reyes. Yeah. And that had cops and had all the things. And,
right.
But again, it was in the U.S. and it was in the offseason.
Lawsuits and wife... First hating him and then stepping back and
yeah,
that was a circus.
As soon as she came to her senses. Sorry. So terrible.
Okay. Hanley Ramirez. I don't know anything about this.
Okay.
Connected to a federal criminal investigation?
Okay. So when I first wrote that, he was connected, but now they've established he is not connected, but a little bit connected. Not quite Aaron Hernandez connected. Right before he got cut from the Red Sox, some shady dude in Boston got arrested. And while he was being arrested, he was like carrying a bunch of drugs in his car, a bunch of weed and pills. And he was FaceTiming Hanley Ramirez.
Uh-oh.
And it may have just been like he knew him and was hoping that knowing him would get him off with the cops. But it was more pills than I think knowing Hanley Ramirez. Plus, it's not like Hanley Ramirez is a World Series hero. If it was David Ortiz, maybe the cops let him go.
Right. And the cops might have been like, let's get this guy out of here. Let's
right. Seal
the
deal. Or if it was Tom Brady, you know. Like,
yeah, Tom Brady would have never hit the headlines.
Yeah. But yeah, so it kind of got out there that he was like, I don't want to say he was like the guy's phone call, but he started FaceTiming Hanley Ramirez while he was getting arrested for drug possession. A little strange.
Has Hanley commented at all?
The league and the team has commented that there is no investigation into Hanley, that the city of Boston or the Boston police has said that he's not being investigated. He's not part of any of it.
Okay.
But I don't know. Isn't that exactly what you would say if you investigating him? I'm just saying.
A dotted line.
Yeah.
So this is kind of big news. Cardinals reaching 10,000 wins.
Yeah, I was kind of excited by this at first, and then I found out it's 10,000 National League wins, and then I found out it was 10,000 National League regular season wins, and then I found out that the Braves, the Cubs, the Giants, the Pirates, and the Dodgers have all done it already. And it's kind of like, well, then who cares? They're like sixth place?
Right, yeah. I would have thought they would have been higher than that.
I thought this was like, wow, 10,000. Imagine that. That's how long baseball's been going on. But they've been playing in the National League since what? The National League was like the late 1880s, right?
Right. Yeah, it was the senior 120
circuit. Years, 130 years. Get my little calculator out. 130 years?
Yeah. You'd think it would have been
I don't know. Sooner. It seems like 10,000 is a little light.
Yeah, to see the Pirates.
Yeah, the Pirates are on there. Of course, you know, Pirates are all 69 and all over the place.
Right, that's why.
You know they already got 10,000 wins.
It's their mojo. Of course they have 10,000.
They're enlightened. You know how they celebrated their 10,000th over in Pittsburgh.
They had 69 day at the ballpark. Everybody got into it. So Edwin Jackson's well on his way to playing for his 69th team.
Yes. If only there were 69 teams he could play for.
He's about to, he's close to breaking the all-time record. So I'm sure he's going to stick around.
He is now tied.
Yeah.
He has played for his 13th team.
And you know he's going to stick around until he breaks that record. He's going to try.
You remember when this guy came up for the Dodgers?
Yeah, he was lights out.
He pitched against the Diamondbacks, against Randy Johnson, and shut out the Diamondbacks. It was awesome. Mm-hmm. No, and he was like, he's like 5'9", whatever, like not a big guy, but just striking everybody out and unhittable stuff. And then injuries and, you know, the usual
psychological, emotional warfare, you know, type of
exactly,
thing.
Exactly. Rough. And then they called him up and then he got a little injured and they sent him down. He came back. He wasn't quite the same. Maybe he came back too soon. Blah, 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 blah. Anyway, but now he's played for 13 teams with the Athletics. And you know that if he's on the Athletics now, he won't be on the Athletics next year. Right. That's their rule.
That's yeah. So he's
and he's like 32 years old or 34 years old. Like, he could easily break this record.
Yeah, he can put it out of reach if he'd like.
He could DiMaggio this thing.
Yeah, he could set an all-time record.
Yeah.
So moving on to the Rangers, they're making Adrian Beltre available for trade, and that's not a surprise. It's kind of a nice gesture, to be honest with you.
You know, I'm glad you said that, John. I'm still trying to figure out how I feel about it. Like, did he get his 3,000th hit?
Did he?
I think he did. Right?
I think he did. Yeah. He did.
So basically, what they're saying is that we re-signed him
for that event,
so he could get his 3,000th hit, and then we're gonna trade him. Like, why? Why keep him if you're... I don't understand this at all.
I think maybe they're looking at it as like, well, he's healthy. He's done a lot for our organization. He's in, obviously, the twilight of his career. I think he's 39 or going to be 40.
Yeah. And still hitting, though.
Let's send him to a team where he can contribute in the stretch drive.
Here's all... You know what? Here's my thing on it. My opinion is whatever Adrian Beltre's opinion is. That's my opinion.
Whatever he thinks.
If he's okay with it,
you're okay.
Then I'm okay with it. If he's not okay with it, then I'm not. I'm totally taking the player's side on this one.
Yeah, I think it's a nice gesture.
I guess the question I have is, are they trading him because they feel like they don't have a chance to win? Then did they think that they had a chance to win? Because they don't.
Well, I think it's more a matter of, you keep him on during the season, and you know you're going to get a heck of a lot more for an aging player at the trade deadline than you would at the beginning of the season.
All right, plus there was no one really taking third baseman, right?
Right.
Moustakas had to go back to...
Yeah. Straight. Now, he's somebody that will probably get traded as well. And
will he, though? Like, who? What contending team needs a third baseman?
Well, there's still time for somebody to get hurt.
Maybe the Phillies? I mean, maybe they're not super happy with Michael Franco and...
It'll be interesting to see what, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later.
Maybe.
If we don't run out of time.
Maybe.
Been promising it for 2-3 weeks now, or 2-3 episodes.
Yeah.
Let's see what else we have here. Yeah, this was pretty exciting. The Dodgers on the road against the Mets hit 7 home runs in a game. Did that tie a record?
Yes. It tied a Mets record.
Okay.
I think there's been one or two more than that. Yeah. And they were all solo home runs, just odd.
Unusual, yeah.
Odd occurrence. But maybe that was just like because you couldn't get like a 2-run home run because the previous guy had already just hit a solo home run.
Right. And Cody Bellinger had a few, didn't he?
He had two that game, yeah.
Did anybody else have multiple?
Yeah, Bellinger's come around kind of nicely
after that kick in the pants earlier in the year.
Yeah.
The lack of hustle benching.
Yeah, I mean, that Dodger team was... in the weeds. Now they're, what, a game and a half, two and a half out of first place?
Yeah, and they're struggling to unseat the Diamondbacks, who are hitting collectively as a team 217.
I will say, have you watched a Diamondbacks game?
I have not.
It is the least frightening lineup that I've ever seen that actually scores runs.
Yeah, and Goldschmidt was awful to start the season. Then he sparked, and now he's kind of...
he's had a month and a half, oof.
Yeah,
I traded for him in fantasy baseball. I traded for him in two leagues because both owners were like, well, he's awful. I'll trade him.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, that's given up way too early.
Got him.
No, that was.
Well, he had no home runs at home a month and a half into the season. Like, that's.
Humidor.
Hey, man, I knew it was mental. I knew it was mental. I knew it.
Probably was.
The mental effect that was clearly having on him was. you haven't seen anything like that since Bryce Harper in the shift.
Right. Right, yeah, that's having a huge impact.
Yeah, or something. Oh, the
beard, the Diamondbacks are hanging in there. Clay Buchholz was a savior
with his 2.5 ERA for a month.
So yeah, he came in and kind of held down the fort, and they get Shelby.
Yeah, they redlined him.
Yeah, they got everything they could. So we'll see if his oblique is a little thing or a big thing.
Oh, he'll be out forever. That's it. There's just no way.
They rode that horse. They got what they could. Yeah, so hopefully Shelby Miller, who came back after his Tommy John, pitched on Monday, I believe.
Yeah.
Not too bad, but not too good either. But, you know, we'll see if it's the pre-trade Shelby or the post-trade Shelby.
Man. poster boy for bad trades. Yeah. And Robbie Ray's coming back for them too. So, you know, it's they have a solid bullpen and they have I still don't understand how they're scoring runs, but it reminds me a little bit of those old Giants teams where it's just like this team scores runs.
Yeah.
I'm like, and sure enough, there Pollock has been out too. Six runs. And Pollock's been out and he's out for still another month, I think.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He just got cleared for baseball activities, so
it'll be interesting to see if who emerges and are the Dodgers going to rise above.
Oh, the Dodgers will win the division, but it'll be interesting to see if the Diamondbacks can hang in there and grab a wild card.
We'll see. Stay tuned for the second half of the MLB season.
Yes.
Moving on. Number one pick for the amateur draft, Casey Mize, got a $7.5 million bonus.
Yeah,
without even throwing a pitch,
which wasn't the record. The record is Garrett Cole's $8 million, and somehow this was the they have slotting right in Major League Baseball. Like the number one slot gets this, and the number two slot gets this. And I guess what they did is they worked out a deal with Mize before they picked him to get less than the slot amount.
And what was the slot amount?
I think it was closer to $8 million.
Okay.
So they saved whatever 400 something thousand that they could use later on in the draft. It's very smart baseball.
Yeah, it is.
Very smart baseball to do this. So sometimes some teams overthink this and mess it up, but this is you pick the number who what really is there a difference between the 1, 2 and the 3? Like unless it's, you know, like Strasburg or Harper or whatever, a guy like that. You just pick the number 3 guy, save the extra money, you can get yourself a top 20 quality player in the 30s and 40s as a pick with the extra dough. Clever.
Yes.
It's a little bit money laundery, but still. Feels a little Cayman Islands-y.
So this will be an interesting news story as this plays out. Luke Heimlich, who is the poster boy for college baseball in all the wrong ways.
Right.
Is reportedly drawing interest from the Royals. Someone's going to sign him.
At some point, someone has to sign this guy because he's
so good. He's a good pitcher. I mean, I take away the headline grabbing stuff in his past, and you know, America's all about second chances, right?
And for those who don't know, he pleaded guilty to having inappropriate sexual contact with his, I think at the time, 6-year-old niece.
Yeah, and he was 15.
And he, you know, he's a registered sex offender and hasn't had any issues since, and but still that's a weird thing to bring on to a team for, but you know, again, America, like you said, America's a place of second chances, and if he toes the line, and
if it, this was the NFL, he would have been drafted in the regular draft. Baseball has some morals.
Yeah, and I think the thing was, I think a lot of teams didn't, you don't want to draft him and then have that be the focus of your draft day
right
thing. Makes so sense. It's like, well, you like, let's have this be a signing that we do sort of when things quiet down, and it'll get some press, but it won't be like the focus of the draft. And the, you know, because a lot of the draft stuff for the lesser teams is about, you know, keeping the fan base energized, and you know, you don't want to put you don't want to sour it with, you know, oh, we have a sexual predator on our team now.
Right. Hey, everybody.
So I think the Mariners have had a sexual predator for a little while, didn't they? Didn't they trade for a sexual predator?
I'm not sure. And that's surprisingly, too, with the Royals and Midwestern values.
Yeah. But all, you know, forgiveness, right?
Yeah. It could be. You know, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, he's handled, you know, again, I'm not trying to push away what happened, but he's handled the scrutiny very well.
Yeah.
You know, he's admitted to it. He's a stand-up guy. He's not doing interviews about it, but he's just kind of like, I don't want to take away from the focus of my team.
Right.
Type of thing.
And they're in the College World Series right now. Right?
They are. I haven't even seen, I know that it's Oregon State versus Arkansas, and I have not seen, I think they played their first game. Was it Tuesday night or last night? I don't even know.
I think it was, well, Tuesday night would be last night.
So, oh, no, you're right. Yeah.
It's either or, John.
I thought it was
or both
Thursday. Wow, I just gained a day. I'm so excited.
Congratulations.
For whatever reason, I'm thinking today's Thursday.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
So good for him. Good for the College World Series, which continues to be underpublicized and ignored.
Yeah,
it
is not even a headline grabbing in ESPN.
Yeah, no, there's
you
no
have to scroll
you go to
down
ESPN
quite
MLB
a ways
and it's
before,
like
yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing there.
Yeah.
So Peter Moylan, who I'm going to assume here he's been out of baseball for 3 or 4 years.
No, that's the thing is it hasn't been that.
He's been winning.
Peter Moylan, well, he just comes into games where it doesn't matter. He doesn't factor into the decision. So
he's got his first decision in what, 4 years?
Well, it's not his first decision. It's his first loss.
Oh, first loss. Okay.
Yeah, so he's in like 8 years.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Guy should be making big bucks.
No.
Middle reliever jackpot.
Well, I think that's more just the flukiness of
the
scorekeeper's wins and losses, you know?
So his first loss in 8 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
Or 7 years.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And some of that time he was injured, of course, but it was like 200 and something appearances without a loss.
That's pretty impressive.
It is. It's an impressive feat.
Not that he's like dominated in those events in any way, but still.
Right. It's not like he was closing games and was able to put together this streak or anything like that. It was like, well, the game's all, we're already down by 8. Let's bring Peter in. You can't lose a game where you're already losing by 8.
Right. That could be. So he was, there during a big chunk of the Dower days too. So
right.
There was a lot of those coming in to mop up probably.
Yeah. He's a mop-up guy. I just had to explain to my wife last night what a mop-up pitcher was. We were watching at 1 in the morning, I was watching the Dodgers and Cubs. And
she was telling you to turn the TV off?
She was like, why is this so sloppy? Because there's like wild pitches and players running around the bases. And I was like, oh, this is the mop-up pitcher.
And she's like, what is a mop-up pitcher?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I had to explain, like, well, they make it so that the good pitchers can rest for when they're actually can make a difference.
Isn't that interesting, though, when somebody doesn't, wife, not what's in anybody who's not familiar with any specific sport, when you throw out a term that they have no concept of, and you're kind of like, whoa, I guess I have to step back and explain this.
Yeah.
It's just such a common understanding if you're knee deep in the sport. I guess somebody could do that in soccer, could throw something my way. I'd be like, what was that? What is this flopping you speak of? Oh, it's a big part of the game.
The hardest part of when someone tries to explain something to you about soccer is staying awake. Not comprehension. It's just staying awake.
I hate to rip on soccer because I know a lot of people who are big fans of it, but it's pretty simple sport. Yeah. You know?
It's the biggest sport in the world, John.
Yeah. You run around, you kick a ball.
I don't know if anyone has ever told you that. Also, shout out to the guys in America calling soccer football.
Yeah.
Very impressed.
By its proper name.
Yeah. Very impressed, Americans who are ignoring our own sport for some international garbage.
Well, they won't watch American football because of the kneeling, all the kneeling.
Yeah, well, they won't even speak its name. It's like it's their Voldemort.
That's good comedy. So the Brewers demoted Domingo Santana in favor of Brad Miller, and maybe it's because their offense is struggling too. You know, you always want to bring up Brad Miller.
Here's the weirdest thing. Do you remember we talked about this in the offseason?
Yeah.
The Yelich trade made this weird thing for the Brewers where they all of a sudden had
the extra
30
outfielder.
Home run, yeah. Power hitting, not very good defender, right fielder that was basically their extra hitter. And you know what? It hasn't worked out well for him, John.
Mm-mm.
Go figure. Ryan Braun has stayed healthy enough, which we thought, well, he's going to go over to first. But then Jesus Aguilar, nice piece up on him on the Foul Territory website, by the way.
And he's been getting Aguilar since that article posted on this, on the website. There's been I've seen 2 or 3 other articles talking about him as an outside chance to make the All-Star team.
I mean, at this point, he should. I mean, 17 home runs. I don't know what else you want from a guy.
Maybe skip the buffet table a little bit.
You know what? He's probably more a DH, right? Like that's probably would be better for him. But
he's Prince Fielder-esque.
Let's not throw too many stones here. All right, that's a hefty stone that you're throwing there.
But yeah, Brad Miller. I don't know.
I guess he's a lefty, and Domingo Santana's a righty. I don't know. Like it just seems like they wasted this asset with Domingo Santana, And maybe they were just like, you know what? We know Lewis Brinson's going to be garbage. Let's dump him on the Marlins and get Christian Yelich out.
Yeah, well, that worked out pretty good. My stretch prediction for the year was that Brinson was going to win the NL Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
He's below the Mendoza line, but they still keep trotting him out there.
They should trot him out there. He's a good defender, and he's got to learn to hit, then they can get rid of him if he just can't hit.
And there's no pressure on him with that team either. So I think it's a better environment for him to be playing in the majors every day anyway. But the Brewers, though, they have been shut out 10 times this year, have the lowest on-base percentage in baseball, but they're in first place.
Yeah, that doesn't bode well, John.
No, it does not.
That feels like, I don't want to say collapse, I'll say regression to the mean.
Yeah. And then so here come if you're the Cubs. A Cubs fan, you should feel pretty comfy.
They're a nice bullpen, though, I'll tell you. That bullpen, oof. Hader and Knable and who's the other guy? Barnes? Jacob Barnes?
So the Padres had a little fun in San Francisco.
Yes.
Tell me about what happened there. Was there some sort
of... So what happened was their bus did not show up to take them from the hotel to the game.
Mechanical issues? Just didn't show up.
Here's the thing. It was the day of Pride parade, which, by the way, I wound up going to the one here.
Oh, good.
Congrats. Yeah, it was awesome. Great energy. Yeah,
speaking of, little detour. I live in Capitol Hill in Seattle, which is the gay community. And right outside of our balcony, we're on the fourth floor. I could throw a rock and hit a few people celebrating. Wow. They had the entire street blocked off, and they had a club scene going on outside in the streets from about 11 a.m. on Sunday until 11 p.m.
That's awesome.
And it was thump, thump, thump the entire time. I watched Westworld with that going on outside. It was like, okay, what is that?
It's like a multimedia experience for Westworld.
It was quite the day.
Trying to catch up on that show, by the way, John. Still not feeling it. I'm three episodes in. I'm just like, I'm so disappointed.
Oh, fourth episode is, I would say, the second best episode of the two seasons so far.
Is that when the dinosaurs show up?
No, you trust me.
The alien invaders?
Trust me. Watch episode four.
Sure. No, I will. I'll watch all of them. What I'm telling you is I'm three episodes in, and anyway.
It's good.
It's almost like just completely different people were doing it. It's like a bad sequel to a great movie. And it's just like, oh, I'll just keep watching because I really like the original movie, but this is actually kind of ruining things. Like the most recent Alien movies.
Right.
Especially the last one, Covenant. Oh my gosh, that was so terrible. But like, well, Ridley Scott. And
he's already got the next one.
He's upset about the loss of his brother.
He's still got the next one.
Terrible, heavy-handed writing with huge plot holes. Like, anyway.
Welcome to Hollywood.
Yeah. People make good sequels. It does happen. Look at the Mission Impossible sequels.
Yeah. Looking forward to the next one.
They keep making them better. Admittedly, the second one wasn't that great.
Yeah, was not that good.
Okay. And the third one was good, but not like... But man, four, five, boom.
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah.
Six looks like it's going to be amazing.
Looking forward to it.
Anyway, what were we talking about? Domingo Santana?
We're talking the double-decker bus.
So, I bet we were. In honor of the 69th episode, we're doing a double-decker. What is that? That's like 669.
I have a visual now.
All right, so their bus doesn't show up. Maybe it got stuck in Pride traffic, whatever. So the coordinator for the team found a parked double-decker bus, negotiated with the driver to take the team to the stadium, got everyone there because they couldn't use Uber or whatever because their Uber was blocked
surge
off
pricing.
By the... Well, no, it wasn't surge pricing. They weren't allowed to go into the areas because of all the parade stuff. Anyway, so they wound up getting to the game on a double-decker tour bus. Fun little baseball story.
Yeah, it is. Did anybody tweet any of the players, put out social media?
Oh, yeah, for sure. There's all pictures up on the social medias, on the Twitters and the Facebooks.
So this next story, there's probably a really good chance that there will be a ban on hot dog cannons.
Right.
in baseball.
Doesn't this feel like an attack on the Constitution of the United States itself? The Philly Fanatics hot dog cannon, which, by the way, I didn't even know existed until this story. The Philly Fanatic literally shoots hot dogs into the crowd. I used to love the t-shirt cannon idea so much. Mm-hmm. I would rather catch a t-shirt cannon t-shirt than a foul ball, John.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's how excited I am. If I could own my own t-shirt cannon, of course, then it escalates, right? Then your neighbors right. get t-shirt cannons. And then you got to go out and get a hot dog cannon.
Right. I had never heard of the hot dog cannon until the Academy Awards when Jimmy Kimmel went into the theater next door and was using one to shoot hot dogs into the crowd. I had never even knew that was a thing. Apparently
oh, that's right. Okay, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, so the Philly Fanatic's doing this, and apparently it hit a Phillies fan in the face. And again, this is one of those confluence of whatever. The person had shoulder surgery and so couldn't move her arm up to block the hot dog from hitting her in the face. 69, am I right? Shout out to the 69th episode. Of course we're talking about hot dogs in the face. Anyway, she got hit in the face and she's like bruised and battered. It looks
But
really
to the
awful.
Emergency room? What was the velocity of the hot
no,
dog?
No, like she looks like she got punched out.
Really?
Yeah,
was
sometimes
it a frozen
when a
hot dog
pounds you in the face. I don't know. It seems like a regular hot dog, right?
Yeah,
but you know, velocity.
Stiff hot dog. Yeah.
Plus, yeah. And, you know, maybe she's an older lady. Maybe she hasn't had a hot dog in her face in a while.
Right. And she didn't know how to handle it.
Yeah. It's like they say it's like riding a bike, but it not really.
No,
you know?
Not necessarily.
Yeah.
Not if you're not expecting it, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, it's not like all of a sudden you're walking and then you're on a bike.
And her hand was pinned down?
Well, it was just immobile.
Okay.
It wasn't...
under a knee or something?
Yeah. I don't know what she was doing. Maybe she was in a double-decker situation.
Here's my favorite story of the week, though.
Yeah, speaking of fun baseball stories.
Yeah, and this one just kind of hit the headlines, and you're kind of like, what happened here? So apparently a third-party vendor's body was discovered in the walk-in beer cooler at the SunTrust Park in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Foul play?
John Coppolella, you know it. Look into this worker's background. This is probably the guy who ratted out the GM. Right? Yeah. Oh, third party had nothing to do with the blah. Yeah. Look into it. You telling me, Coppolella?
Follow the money.
This guy breaks the rules. He wouldn't mind murdering someone and sticking him in the beer closet. This is like Goodfellas.
Well, all I had heard is that they found the body. There was really no story to it when I saw it yesterday.
I'm making up the story right now, John.
Oh, wow. Imagine though, did he get locked in and then perished? And it was to be clear, it was the cooler.
John, you've
not
seen
the
Goodfellas,
freezer.
Right?
Right.
You've seen Goodfellas.
I have.
Did any of those people who died in that movie look like they happened into a situation like I was sitting in my car and all of a sudden I was strangulated?
Right. Yeah, he got shoved into the cooler.
Yes. I'm
and I wonder
saying.
How he was found. Was he found standing, you know, frozen? Well, he wasn't.
Was he hung up on a hook?
Right. Meat hook. Was he 69ing?
Okay, now that's just weird.
The Philly Fanatic.
That's just weird.
The hot dog.
Were hot dogs frozen in his face? Did he die because he was trying to eat frozen hot dogs?
We need to know more about this story.
They weren't frozen. Would he have just gone to the emergency room?
Right. But it was a cooler, not the freezer. So that's still.
Yeah, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's not cold.
Right. Yeah.
Exposure, man. Human bodies have a very small tolerance for weather.
Yeah, the window.
For temperature.
Yeah, there is that window. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll find out more, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
As the police find. So that here's a story that we won't be following up on in future episodes. But
right.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Do yourself a favor. Look it up.
Yeah. It's fun.
Yeah. Starting 9.
Starting 9.
So this must have been painful for you to do this one.
I just thought, you know, in honor of World Cup, I would do World Cup names. Because, like, I make fun of soccer a lot, but it's a big global experience, and people seem to enjoy it. And I'm very pleased the United States decided not to take part this year.
That's good.
Especially in Russia. Hello.
Yeah, that was intentional.
Hello. Like, Putin wasn't going to, like, infiltrate the team like he's done with everything else. There's collusion, John.
Oh, but I did see a headline today that Trump and Putin are going to be getting together in some third party or third country territory for a little powwow. How exciting.
Yeah, I guess.
He's doing the tour of dictators.
I'm not really sure what he's doing. Look, they have to do this stuff, right? The president has to do this stuff. Obama did it, Bush did it, Clinton did it, blah, 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 blah. But I just, man, I wish there was some way we could control just the things that get said. I get nervous. That's all. I get a little nervous when a game show host is going to meet with actual dictators. Sorry, I mean the president of the United States, whatever.
It'll be fun. It'll be the news cycle for, you know, 2 weeks leading up and the week after, and crazy things will be said.
Yeah. Yes, by everyone.
Right. Everyone.
There's
under the
so
sun,
much craziness.
Yeah.
It is mind-boggling how much craziness. There are things I'll go on Twitter sometimes and I'll see, and it is remarkable to me the people who are employable and who don't drive themselves into walls and are able to tie their own shoes, say things that would not indicate they could do those things. It's really remarkable.
Yeah, it is really amazing how people can spew negativity from behind a monitor or smartphone.
Well, it's spilling out into the real world now, John.
Shaking fists.
Maxine Waters has ordered her minions to attack people, to corner people, surround people from the White House administration and
shame them
and shame them and push back. And no one would ever take that to mean physical assault.
Well,
they would only
Sarah
ever
Huckabee
mean it to be
getting dissed from.
And then the story is that she was kicked out of the restaurant and then she went home, but then her in-laws went to the restaurant across the street, and then people followed the in-laws across the street and harassed them there. This is awesome. This can never backfire. I'm just glad that these people who are so eager to stomp out fascism don't mind using a little fascism themselves.
Well, the good news is for the response from the right-wing party was that they drove the establishment's rating on Yelp from a 5-star or 4-star, whatever the highest is, down to 2 in 24 hours.
Oof.
Yeah, so they went from having 5,000
votes all around, John,
to 15,000 votes in 24 hours.
Well, you figure Yelp will go through and clean that up, right? Like,
hopefully.
Yelp's pretty smart about that.
Yeah,
Yelp's pretty smart about that. They'll go through and clear it up. They just can't clear it up right away because
it's just the world that we live in.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, I'm the one that's being civilized. No, I'm the one that's being civilized. Punch, argue, punch, punch.
I'm right.
Okay,
you're
guys.
Wrong. Right.
Okay, guys. Isn't it possible both sides are being
uncivil?
I mean,
I agree with that.
Okay.
World Cup, 9 players,
yes.
Soccer
names.
9
players. All right. Paulé Goldschmidt. Pelé?
Oh, Paul. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
I thought you said Goldschmidt.
Hilarious. Devin Messi Rocco.
Okay.
Messi is a famous player.
He is.
Martin Ronaldo Nado.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Josh Diego Maradonaldson.
Who apparently had some medical attention after Argentina's game.
Yeah, he's on the DL. And then I put this name in. I'd never heard of this player, but he was listed as a top soccer player. Kaká. And then I've got Kaká Hernandez for Kike Hernandez.
Yeah, I've never heard of him.
Yeah, I've heard of this guy, Neymar Trumbo.
Yeah, Neymar Trumbo. I like that one. That was good.
This is an easy one. David Tim Beckham.
Okay. Yeah, easy.
All right. Brandon Donovan Longoria.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Evan Longoria. Mm-hmm. Right. And last but not least, Cole Meehamels.
That's my favorite one. Yeah, you brought a little bit of little lady love in there.
Yeah.
Very nice.
I mean, is there really a difference between women's soccer and men's soccer? Anyway, that's all. That's all for my jokes, ladies and gentlemen.
So, do
we
have
time for this?
We do. Let's dive into Around the Horn.
Around the Horn. First time in weeks. Maybe months.
Yeah. And we're going to take a look at trades. Who should be or should not be? Or who should be?
Who should be traded to or from each team?
Each team. Okay. I'll read the list. You give me the the 411 Braves.
Lay it on me. Okay, and by the way, I have not done any research on this.
Off the top of your head.
At all.
And if you did, it was weeks ago.
I swear, no research on Around the Horn ever.
Okay. Braves.
Okay, so the Braves, I'm going to say they need a relief pitcher.
Okay.
Yeah. So who's throwing around relief pitchers? Maybe they'll grab someone from like the Marlins.
Mm-hmm.
Marlins have anyone that's
Steckenrider
there's like,
and Barkov.
There's like five, you know what? They'll probably get. I can see them getting like a Joaquin Soria, mm-hmm. just to bolster that bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I say. I'm gonna say Joaquin Soria to the Braves. All right, we're getting the rust off here, right? Hey, can't just sometimes you can't just get fired up and get going. That's not how 69 works. All right,
right. You got to ease into.
There's
it.
There's a little bit of you don't just like start into 69. You got to take your clothes off.
Right.
You got to touch. You got to caress.
Right. You have to have.
Then you got to. Flip her over on the bed and jump on top, or the other way around. Him, right. her.
Well, first there's the begging. Preference.
I'm going to be honest with you, John. I've never had to beg for that.
Lucky guy there.
I'm just saying, if you do it right.
Ooh, skills.
It just kind of happens. It just kind of happens.
Accidental 69?
Yes.
Unintentional 69?
Oh, hey, while we're here. Oh, look.
While
I was
your
just
hot
cleaning
dogs
up
in my face.
And just for the record, it's totally gross that we're putting so much attention on this.
Well, it's a lot less than I thought, to be honest with you.
Oh, okay, good. Fair enough.
Okay, the Mets.
Yeah. Okay, so the Mets, they have to trade away. Now, people are talking about them trading away like DeGrom mm-hmm. or Syndergaard. No, you can't do that. But you trade away, if I were them, I would trade away Familia. I think you could get some good stuff for mm-hmm. Familia. If you could get, I mean, obviously you want to get more than what the Royals got for Kelvin Herrera, but if you can get something a little closer to what the Yankees got for Andrew Miller and what's his pickle? Aroldis Chapman?
Mm-hmm.
Andrew, I was going to call him Andrew Chapman, but it's Andrew Miller and Aroldis Chapman. So yeah, I think the Mets should trade. This is the lost year for them. Too many injuries. You know, probably trade like a Jay Bruce if you can. I don't know. Was he a 2-year deal or he was a 3-year deal, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's going to be tough to trade.
It's brutal. They got a couple of prospects coming though that could be kind of awesome. But God, they're so left-handed. This team is so left-handed. If I were them, I would try to get a right-handed something. Maybe they could do a trade where they're getting like a major league piece instead of a minor leaguer. Anyway, next team.
Phillies.
Bullpen, right? Like has to be bullpen. So let's say not Joaquin Soria, but let's just say reliever. Reliever X, who cares?
Kepler needs more arms.
Yes, he did. Well, you saw like Neris is back up now because one of the other guys is injured. And anyway, what a mess that bullpen is.
How about the Nationals?
Okay, the Nationals, well, first of all, they need to get healthy. But I actually think they might need another starting pitcher.
Yeah.
I mean, Gio's going to be Gio, right? He's
up and
everyone.
Down.
He started off like 6 weeks. Everyone's like, wow, look at this guy. He's so underrated. And then all of a sudden, he was rated, and now he's overrated.
Right.
He just gave up like 6 runs the other day. And like, but positionally speaking, I mean, I guess they could go after Realmuto, right? Like, but apparently the asking price is.
Yeah, they've been knocking on that door since spring training.
And like, wouldn't you give up Victor Robles for JT Realmuto? I mean, you get him for 3 years. That feels fair, right? Realmuto?
Yeah, and that would be a huge acquisition because their catching has been... Wieter's deal was awful.
Yeah.
It's not
God,
produced
so
at all.
Bad.
Yeah.
One of the worst.
Really bad. Bad signing. And I'm sure Wieter's feels awful.
Yeah.
He cries on his money pillow every night. Marlins.
Straley? Trade away Dan Straley?
Yes. Straley is definitely a candidate. Castro probably could be. Who else?
I mean, definitely is anyone... I guess the Red Sox are kind of looking for a second baseman, right? They're kind of unsettled there with Eduardo Nunez is not quite doing anything, and Pedroia's injured. And
well, all the talk about them is with Machado, right? With Devers and...
Well, that's the thing is Devers is too much for Machado straight up, right? But maybe they wind up doing a thing where they trade Devers... And get Machado and then also get something else in like a three-way. Shout out to 69 right there. Or just more back from the, you know, maybe they get like a closer, maybe they get Britton and Machado for Devers. It still feels like a little light for Devers. But something like that might be cool.
Yeah. So we jumped over to the Red Sox, who are the next on the list anyway.
Yeah.
Yankees.
Okay. They need a starting pitcher. So let's have them go after, well, they do like Australia. That's too light for them, right?
No, I think they'd, I feel like, like, they'd probably
like
want
Cole Hamels. Cole Hamels feels like the kind of guy they'd go after.
Definitely. And they'll probably overpay for him.
Probably. But they have of all the teams that can do it, they're definitely a team that can overpay. Just like the Braves. The Braves can overpay. Like, they have so many pitchers and so many players coming. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Especially the pitchers with the Braves.
Blue Jays.
They should trade. And I think if they could trade one person, I mean, they'd love to get rid of Smoke, because that's been this is the last year of his deal, and da, 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 but this is not a team for this year. Mm-hmm. I mean, they would love to trade Donaldson, right? I think that's what they were hoping to do, is get him into games, show off his value, and then, but they're smart to, like, there's any sign of injury, you pull it back, and then say, let's get you healthy. Get him healthy, fully healthy out on the field.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because, like, no one needs to know, like, oh, is Josh Donaldson a good hitter?
They know.
The only question is he healthy?
Right.
And so you just don't mess around with the health thing. You bring him out there, and you can get yourself a nice little piece for a, you know, a great hitter like him. Mm-hmm. And a defender, too, at third base.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he goes to the Red Sox.
Maybe.
Not for Devers, but.
No.
Just send Devers down, for crying out loud. Who cares?
Right. He's still, he's only, what, 20?
Yeah, 21 or something like that. Yeah.
How about the Orioles?
Got to trade Machado and probably Britton as well.
Yeah. Get a haul while they can.
Yeah.
The Rays.
Wilson Ramos, the catcher. Wouldn't be surprised to see him get traded back to the Nationals, by the way. That is where he came from.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be an upgrade for the Nationals.
Yeah, definitely would.
Wilson Ramos would be an upgrade for a lot of catchers, now that I think about it.
Pirates.
They should probably trade, right? Away.
Yeah, they've been middling 500 team. Yeah. Much better than I think a lot of people thought they were going to be.
Yeah, but I think with all the teams ahead of them, they're probably just going to do that thing where they don't trade anyone and don't trade for or away.
That's kind of Huntington's MO.
Yeah.
To not make the moves.
Yeah.
He has a tendency to stand pat, which is unusual. They had a chance, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, and didn't make any moves, which was unusual.
Yeah.
And they kind of let that door close.
Yeah, it's closing.
Cardinals.
They need more bullpen. I mean, Bud Norris has been, you know, a real pleasant surprise, but that Greg Holland signing for $14 million and they lose a draft pick? Oof.
Disaster.
Brutal for nothing. Like, he has been awful for them. He's back up from the disabled list. I guess he was injured. His injury was his pitching was broken.
Yeah, there's an open-ended rehab assignment for that. Just never know if it's ever going to get right. How about the Brewers? I skipped the Cubs. How about the Cubs?
Okay, the Cubs probably need another starting pitcher. Or at least another bullpen piece. But their lineup is stacked, and Chris Bryant just hit the disabled list.
Yeah,
but
what was
like,
his
okay,
injury?
Good. So I didn't see what it was. Was it a shoulder thing? But like, that seemed like good. You just move Javi Baez over to third base.
Yeah,
and
they've got plenty of depth.
You know,
but they've been talking about trading Addison Russell. I've seen that a few times as well.
Well, yeah, he is in the talk. They are in the Machado talks.
Okay.
And, of course, that would be a big upgrade, but then you're basically giving up on Addison Russell. But I feel like if you're giving up on Addison Russell, you're giving up on less than the Red Sox would be with Devers.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't be surprised. I would think that's a fairly fair trade, to Russell for Machado. And Machado's so good. He's not like J.D. Martinez last year was like, wow, great hitter, but defense, ooh.
Right. He's
a great defender.
Around. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really good. I think he's got one of the top five arms in baseball, infield arms in baseball.
Yeah. He's great. And he can move over to third if you. Mm-hmm. Blah, 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 yeah. So.
Okay, now the Brewers.
Brewers, what do you figure? Starting, they probably don't need starting pitching. They got Jimmy Nelson coming back soon.
Should be back early July, maybe after the All-Star.
But they probably, here's the thing, they probably need a second baseman because their second baseman situation is not that great. But their minor leaguer, Keston Hura, he is hitting the snot out of the ball at high A and then at double A. Like, he's got a 1,000 OPS right now. Wow. He's hitting 360 or something like that. You remember in our baseball draft last year, Brad picked him up with the last pick in the draft. Mm-hmm. Just like, I almost picked him up with my pick 11 picks earlier, and no one else picked him up. And I was like, wow, he's just a top 10 hitter here, and no one's picking him up. Brad got him, and now he's a top 15 prospect.
Yeah.
What?
Nicely done.
Wow. Anyway, he could be the solution.
Could be.
Why not? Double A to the majors? It's been happening more and more lately.
Yeah. The young guys are coming.
Fix that on-base percentage problem they have.
That would help. How about the Reds? What are the Reds up to? Although they had a six-game winning streak recently?
They needed, okay. Yes, even the blind squirrel, blah, blah, blah. They got to trade Iglesias. I don't think they have any starting pitching worth trading. And if they did, they should probably keep him anyway. And if you could find a way to trade Billy Hamill to someone who just wants like a speedy outfielder, maybe something there. Yeah. I mean, teams need that. But maybe it's that trade's better for them in the last year of his deal, which I don't think this year is.
Do you remember Herb Washington with the A's back in the mid-70s?
No.
He was their designated runner.
Oh, okay.
So they basically signed him to steal bases.
Well, Dave Roberts from the 2004 Red Sox.
Mm-hmm.
That's what his job was.
Right, and he did.
And the Royals did that too. Didn't they have a guy? Yeah, absolutely they had a guy. Good defender, amazing speed, and no bat at all, but he could steal on anybody.
Was that Dyson? Dyson?
Was it Dyson or was it someone? No, it wasn't Dyson. It was the other guy. But Dyson was one of their guys like that. I think they had two guys like that. But it was like a crazy speed.
Well, back to the list. How about the Astros?
Astros, well, they're going to be bringing up Kyle Tucker, right? Mm-hmm. So that's going to fix their offense. And then they probably need like another bullpen piece because the bullpen is not that great. But I would be surprised if they did a big splash in that area. They'd probably just get a guy.
Britton?
Maybe. Yeah. Do they have what's their lefty situation? They have a lefty, right? Yeah, Britton would probably be a good fit there. Give him a second lefty. I mean, Sip would become the second lefty, but Tony Sip, for those who don't know. And for those who are wondering how I know the left-handed reliever for the Houston Astros.
He's on one of your fantasy teams?
Nope. You have every right to be concerned. I probably shouldn't know that.
Spend way too much time looking at the third guy out of the bullpen.
Yeah.
How about the Angels? I feel bad for Angels fans.
You know what you shouldn't feel bad about Angels fans, though? Their minor league system is churning out awesome prospects. They are, I think, like just 2-3 years ago, this was like second to last farm system in baseball. They have so many guys coming that were like, they were kind of like lottery ticket draft picks, and they've like hit on all of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's really impressive. So maybe not this year because Otani's injured, but it looks like there's a chance the team will not squander Trout's existence.
So they're selling.
I mean, I don't think they're selling because I think they need to just stick around as long as they can before they sell. And I don't think they'll wind up selling. I don't think there's anything worth selling on their team. I mean, maybe you could trade away Cole Calhoun because yeesh. But there's not really much to sell, and they probably shouldn't try to acquire anything because where do you put, who's going to give you a starting pitcher that gives you the lift you need, blah, 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 So bullpen's a little bit messy.
So their coffers are full in the minors.
Yes. I mean, like impressively so.
Yeah. So
Joe Adell is like a top.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised to see Joe Adell in the top 10 next year in prospect lists.
And you drafted him last year.
I did draft him last year, yes.
Okay, how about the Rangers?
Sell Cole Hamels. Let's get him out of there. Chu should go somewhere, too. Chu's been on base like crazy. But,
and Beltre.
And I don't think they should trade Beltre. I think you keep Beltre. But if he wants to be traded, then sure, trade Beltre. But those are the guys I know that they, like the money would just be such a relief for them. They wouldn't even necessarily need to get anything back.
How about the surging Athletics?
I mean, you're going to see Billy Beane do a trade of some sort, but I wouldn't even bother to guess right now because I would never know.
Yeah, it's going to be some obscure trade that you weren't even thinking about.
Yeah, it'll be like, oh, is that a good move? Is that all right? Fair enough.
And you know for sure Jerry DePoto is going to be active. Already has been.
Already has been. He's part of the reason why we decided to come up with this, with his Alex Colomé trade. Didn't have to give up much there. Now, they do not have a very deep farm system. As a matter of fact, one could say that they had the shallowest farm system. So I don't know what they have to offer, but if they could get another starting pitcher.
Yeah, that's what they need. But yeah. What are they going to give up to get it?
Yeah. But and maybe then, they could, like, maybe the Rangers just want to give up Hamels and not have to pay his contract. And so they just have to get, like, here's a lottery ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of that happens in fantasy leagues that are keepers where it's like, well, yeah, I'm giving up a much better player, but I'm also unburdening myself of this contract, or
right.
Because the contract goes on and on, or whatever.
They definitely need some depth, that's for sure. Yeah. They deepened the bullpen, which was a good thing, but they need another starter. They definitely are not going to go far. You know, Hernandez is either on or way off, so he's not.
And then when does Cano come back? Is that August?
Yeah. But
80 games, August?
But he hasn't, you know, they've played better without him.
Yeah.
You know, they're not missing him for sure. D. Gordon at second base is a, you know, fits in nicely defensively for sure.
Yeah. What a nice little happy accident that was for him to put him in the outfield.
Yeah, that worked out perfect. So it'll be interesting to see what happens when he comes back, if that disrupts the chemistry of the team.
Right.
We'll see. We got to whip through these other ones here. Padres.
Okay. Reliever. They'll trade away a reliever. They don't have much starting pitcher, and the hitting is all questionable, but they'll trade away a reliever.
They've been doing okay. They've been doing better than I thought they would. But they've got their stock, too. Their farm system is stocked.
Exactly. So and they're like, you know, Luis Urias is going to probably come up this year, and then Fernando Tatis Jr. is, like, destroying the ball in AA now. And, he looks awesome. Still can't believe they got him for James Shields.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. What were the White Sox thinking? Why were the White Sox trading for James Shields? Anyway, unbelievable.
Next about team. The Dodgers?
Well, I think they should go get Machado, stick him at short, and just move things around. However, move someone over to second. Move Taylor over to second base, whatever. That's the move for them.
And then they have issues, though, next year, right?
Well, they have issues. They always have issues. The problem is if they trade for a player, they have to – whoever gives them the player has to eat the entire contract. Mm-hmm. That's the Dodgers' biggest problem right now.
Right.
Because they can't use their money, because if they use their money, they go over the tax threshold, and it essentially costs them like tens of millions of dollars to go over even by $1 million.
So if they were to get Machado, does Seager – stay at short, Machado moved to third, where does Turner go?
Well, Seager won't be back till next year.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And Machado's a free agent at the end of the year, so then...
So it would just be a rental.
It would just be a rental, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that fits perfectly.
Yeah. And right now, if you're a team, aren't you going after Machado over Harper?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Right? I feel like Machado has moved out in front of Harper
And I think there's a huge chance that Harper re-signs with the Nationals with a like a 1 or 2 year opt-out.
Oh, okay. Do his a 2-year, 3-year deal with a 1-year opt-out.
Right. Something like that, because I don't think so.
I think he's getting the 10 years no matter what. I think the thing that he's lost this year, and it's quite a bit of money, but I think he went from being 35 to 40 million a year to more like 30 to 35 million a year. But he'll get the 10-year deal. There's no way Boris doesn't go get the 10-year deal.
We'll see. It'll be interesting to see if he finds another gear, you know, and starts being more than a home run hitter. Oof. And it beats the shifts.
Being more than a 210 hitter.
Right. Yeah. For a walk year, that's a rough statistics.
Yeah.
Okay. Where are we? Giants.
I mean, can they trade for, I think they've done all the trading they can do, right? So let's say they trade away something. No, they won't do that. They still think they're kind of in it. It's just kind of sad. I'm going to say they trade for, and it's like just some stupid thing that's like, oh, okay, I guess they didn't do nothing. I mean, like the Athletics, but
right,
more futile.
It's a Bay Area thing. Rockies. Yeah.
What would you do if you're the Rockies? Maybe another reliever?
Can't have too many relievers.
I guess they can't. I don't know. I'm going to do pass on the Rockies.
D-backs.
They got all their starting pitching back. They have the other injury thing, right? Because Souza's coming back. Pollock's coming back. So they're sort of like, their injury returns are their trade. So mm-hmm. That's what I'm going to say for that. That's a cheap answer.
This division, I don't even know the AL Central, if it's even worthy of going through. There's only one competitive team in the mix.
I'll bang these out real quick. The Tigers need to trade Shane Green because he's pitching well and someone else could use that. The Twins should not trade for anything, but will probably trade for something in the bullpen. The White Sox should trade away Joaquin Soria. The Royals should trade away... What else do they have? Like a Kennedy? Kennedy's like an innings eater, so maybe they could get something for that. And then the Indians should acquire another bullpen piece because that's the big issue for their team. Right. Is that bullpen.
Yeah, Miller's been out forever. Yeah.
And they're missing the players that they lost in the offseason, frankly. Mm-hmm. They were not replaced well.
No. Okay, so we finally got to it. Round the horn.
Yeah.
The much-heralded, long-awaited trade deadline.
Yeah, I'm going to say... In the spirit of 69, anticlimactic.
That moves us into extra innings.
Yes.
Taking a look outside the world of baseball. So, yeah, this was a bold statement by Magic Johnson saying that he will step down if the Lakers aren't able to cash in on the free agents market in the next few seasons.
I mean, I appreciate the optimism, right? And you know, of all people, Magic Johnson is positive.
Mm-hmm. Everyone loves a good HIV joke. Oh boy.
I mean, my favorite part about this, of course, is like he's saying that if he doesn't deliver over the next 2 summers, like what does that even mean? That's not saying like if we don't win 50 games, if we don't win a championship, it's like if I don't deliver, like, okay. Isn't that sort of a really subjective thing?
He delivered for the Dodgers, didn't he?
Technically, I guess, right?
Yeah, so it's a PR move more than anything.
Yeah.
Just getting him in the headlines.
But also, he's going to sign Paul George. He's going to sign LeBron James. And then, let's see how that team does.
Yeah, it's going to be – we'll know by next week. But next – because the deadline –
Yeah, it starts next week, right?
Yeah, so we'll know what to – all this big – trade season and or moving season will be. It's going to be, it's always fun to watch. And LeBron isn't going to do some big announcement this time, he says. He's done with the media circus, although it will follow him no matter where he goes.
Right.
Let's see, what else we got here? Tom Brady remains number one in the NFL Network's top 100 rankings. Is that possible?
Is that amazing? Obviously, it's opinions, and you can't really compare whatever, but, he's still considered the best player in the league.
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
Well, he won the MVP last year, John.
Yeah, it's just...
Took his team to the Super Bowl again, and if it wasn't for some defensive weirdness by the team, they should have won that game.
Sitting the hero from the victory over the Seahawks... For the entire game.
Exactly.
That for whatever, that probably contributed a little bit.
Whatever reason. Maybe, whatever. Sometimes Belichick is just over-Belichicking, but anyway, number one, look, it would be impressive if he was still in the top 10.
Mm.
Tom Brady, greatest of all time.
Yeah.
You didn't see Joe Montana in the number one when he was the quarterback for the Royals or whatever the Chiefs.
Chiefs, right.
I got the city right. The Kansas City Chiefs, when he had that giant bulb on his elbow. Do you remember that
right.
thing?
No, I do.
Could hardly watch.
No,
greatest of all time.
Yeah, he definitely is. And he's got the Tom Brady program that keeps him fit. So,
yeah, very similar to my program. If you take, basically, if you take Tom Brady's regimen and then you do just basically the opposite of that, that's my regimen.
Hey, it works for you.
And I am meticulous about it. Donuts? Yes. Every day.
Although you did cut Snapple.
I had to cut that loose, John. Yeah. We got to find a new sponsor.
Tom's anti-Snapple, I would assume.
I would very much assume that he's anti-Snapple.
Unless they're paying him.
That's a Snapple fact.
Right. So this is a fun story.
Yes.
An Egyptian TV analyst died after the team lost in the World Cup.
Died of boredom because he was watching a soccer game.
And
not surprised at all, John.
Another little Egyptian fact that their goalie set the record for the oldest player to play in the World Cup at 45. So they have a 45-year-old goalie.
Wow. So I guess he's next.
I pitched that softball in high and deep. Okay, this the last story here in our extra innings. I don't follow this stuff at all, so you're going to have to enlighten me with the Royals and Meghan Markle.
If you want to know about the Royals, John, and I don't just mean the Kansas City Royals or Chiefs, I am your one-stop shop for Royals information.
Oh, do you? You're a follower?
No, not at all.
Okay.
But I did happen to catch this story. So Meghan Markle's dad, who was not at the wedding, and it sounds like he might be kind of a nutso person.
Yeah, he is.
He has decided to pick a fight with the Queen, and he has become quite a soundbite generator, which, you know, every daughter dreams of getting married and to a prince and then having their dad turn into a TMZ machine. That's the part that gets left out of the Cinderella story and the Sleeping Beauty. It's when the beautiful woman who marries the prince also has a dad, and the dad is bonks. He was staging photos. He was staging paparazzi photos.
Right. He may wind up in the Atlanta Braves beer cooler.
Hey, if he doesn't watch out, he's going to wind up in Wimbledon's beer cooler. Am I right?
Right.
Oh, they don't cool their beer there, do they?
It's all about the strawberries and cream, I believe.
Yes, in the strawberries and cream cooler.
What's coming up next?
Find out what Major League Baseball is doing about speeding up the game and appealing to a younger audience on the next episode of Hey, At Least It's Not Soccer.